Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today, as you all know, our nation will experience the most celebrated event in our country. The viewing audience will easily number in the millions, although I have come by some alternative facts from alternative sources that tell me the numbers will pale in comparison to those that were there on Inauguration Day. Sorry, couldn't help myself. Well, even the advertisements that will be aired today are renowned, and the ad campaigns that have been worked on for 12 months will be aired. Lots of people will be involved in this day, but of course the real action will take place down on the field. In each and every play, there will be 22 men giving their all down there on the turf with all eyes watching. And those 22 men on the field at any given time are each hoping that things will come together in such a way that it will leave a lasting memory on those who watch and will leave them forever famous. Well, in today's scripture, Jesus too is surrounded by crowds. But the real action takes place in a small huddle of people that form the inner circle. The camera zooms in, and we get an up-close and personal view of Jesus and his interaction with ordinary people like us. Ordinary people who are remembered because of their personal interaction with him. As you lean forward this morning to get a closer look at what transpires, you may be in for a big surprise. For the one who once laid down his sweet head might well lift it up and look you in the eye. And you might well find yourself becoming one of the players. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of being here today. We thank you for the gift, the treasure of your holy word, which we have before us this day. For the eyewitness accounts that have been passed down through the centuries that have made their way to us. We pray that these words would work in our hearts in such a way that we would be filled with faith, confident that you are with us in our lives, and empowered to get out there into the world to accomplish good things for you. We pray now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I think you should all be able to find a red Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And I would encourage you to take it out to make your way to page 1079 to the gospel reading for today from Luke chapter 7. I'll be following along pretty closely today as we look at this passage together. Page 1079, Luke chapter 7. What we have before us this morning is two different acts. These acts include large crowds. We will find them in both of these. These acts also include a person in dire need in each of these two acts. Again, page 1079, Luke chapter 7. We begin reading there in the first verse, when Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. When Jesus had finished saying this. Now this is obviously talking about what has come right before. If you look up to verse 46 in chapter 6, right above verse 46, you have a heading that says, "The Wise and Foolish Builders." A parable that maybe you are familiar with, where Jesus says that the one who listens to his word and puts it into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Okay, the one who listens, puts it into practice, built his house upon the rock. The rain comes, the storm gathers and beats against the house, and the house stood firm because it had been founded upon the rock. But Jesus will then say, the one who hears my word, but then does not put it into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Yeah. And though the weather came and blew against the house and it fell over, right? Great devastation. So the point is to hear the word of Jesus and to put it into practice, as opposed to having it come in one ear and go out the other. So this is what Jesus has just finished telling them. When he had finished saying this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now Capernaum is right on the top of the Sea of Galilee, up in the north part of Israel. It caps off the Sea of Galilee, if you will, to help you remember that, right on the top of Galilee. And there it says in verse 2, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. Now we're going to learn that this centurion is a man of action. This is a man who gets things done. He's a man of authority. He has a servant who is very ill. He's right about to die. And the next verse tells us, the centurion, verse 3, heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. So what does this centurion know about Jesus? He knows very little about him. Luke tells us he's heard of Jesus. He's heard of the reputation of Jesus, particularly as what? A healer. He's heard that Jesus has done some healing. He has a sick servant, and so he sends some people to Jesus to ask for help. Now, this person, the centurion, was a successful man. In his own arena, he knew exactly what to do. He could say the word and it would be done. He knew how to run things. He was successful in his own dominion, so to speak. But when it came time to healing, when it came time to the situation he found himself in, this was not an arena he was comfortable with. Not an arena he had any authority in whatsoever. But he has heard of Jesus. He's heard that Jesus has done some healing. And so he sends some elders of the Jews to Jesus. Now this Roman centurion is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He has a good relationship with the Jews, however, because he knows them well enough to send their elders to request this favor. Verse 4, when they, the elders of the Jews, came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this, they said, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. Do you remember when we had that great funding campaign to build our synagogue? This guy, this centurion, gave the lion's share of the money. It's because of him that we could have our building built. Jesus, you need to go. This guy is worthy of your time, worthy of your efforts. He loves our nation. This non-Jew is sympathetic to the Jewish people. So, Jesus went with them, verse 6. But now he's interrupted. It says he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends, a second envoy, to say to Jesus, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Here this man is humble. He's respectful. He goes on to say, that is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. You don't even need to physically be here, Jesus. Just say the word. For I myself am a man under authority. He knows what authority is all about. With soldiers under me, I tell this one, go, and he goes. Another one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. This centurion knows all about authority. And he recognizes that he and Jesus, they have that in common. As Alyssa was talking to the kids this morning about the differences and the similarities between those writing utensils, this man recognizes this is what we've got in common. We have authority. I have it in my dominion. Jesus has it in his. So Jesus, just say the word. My servant will be healed. Verse 9. When Jesus heard this, he was what? He was amazed. Jesus was wowed. And it takes something special, I would think, to amaze Jesus. Wouldn't that warm your heart if he said that about you? In a good way? Paul, you amaze me. Now, it could be in a bad way, right? You amaze me, Ingfelt. Yeah, you amaze me. But here, Jesus is saying this in a good way. He was amazed. And he stops. And he turns to the crowd who was with him. You can imagine Jesus stopping, just going, did you hear that? Did you hear what this guy just said? Did you hear the kind of faith he expressed in those words? Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus stops. You can picture the whole crowd around him stopping, listening. What's he going to say? And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I have not seen such great faith, even in Israel. And I'm hearing it, I'm seeing it from this Gentile, from this non-Jew. And you might wonder, who will be the next one? Who will be the next one in the crowd to step forth and not just be a member of the crowd anymore, but to be one of Jesus' disciples, one of his inner group that follows him wherever he goes? I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then it says, verse 10, the men who had been sent, the friends of the centurion, returned to the house and found the servant well. And that's it, the end of Act 1. We're propelled into the next act. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called what? Nain. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. So we've got the insiders, we've got the disciples, those who were following Jesus on a regular basis, and we've got another crowd, people who are sort of standing on the outside looking in. They go to this city called Nain. Now, if you've heard of this city before, Nain, it's because of what we read right here, because this is the only place we find this word in the entire Bible. The reason Nain is mentioned is because of what happens in these next verses. Now, in John's gospel account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, at the end of his account in chapter 20, John says there are many other things, many other miraculous signs that Jesus accomplished in our midst, many other things, but we didn't write them down. John says the ones that we have chosen, the ones that we selected to write down and we have put down before you, these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in his name. Many other things Jesus did that are not recorded in this book. Nain makes the cut. It makes the cut because of what we read here. Jesus goes to a town of Nain. It's in the northern part of Galilee. This is Jewish territory. His disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. You can picture Jesus surrounded by his disciples, surrounded by a large crowd, making their way to this city of Nain. They're coming to the outskirts of the city. Another large crowd is coming from the city, outside. And as Jesus and his crowd is coming, they see this scene. Their eyes are filled with this funeral procession. And they hear the voice. They hear that haunting voice of a grieving mother for her only son. Their senses are piqued. Now these two crowds come together, one heading into the city, one leaving the city. And of course, when they meet, you know what's going to happen. Those crowds are going to stop and try to make their way around each other. We've got a big traffic jam of people, right, in the middle of the road. A dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, she a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her, and when the Lord saw her, what does it say? His heart went out to her. Or another translation will say that Jesus felt compassion. Now we can pause for a moment here to visualize this scene, that this woman has just lost her only son. And we can imagine that Jesus perhaps thought of his own family, perhaps thought of his own mother, and what her experience would be like on a day in the not too distant future. Jesus felt compassion. And you can picture Jesus walking over to this woman, speaking tenderly to her heart, which was so vulnerable, so sensitive, on the verge of breaking, if not broken. Jesus comes up to her and he says two words. Don't cry. Don't cry. And then proactively, without being asked, Jesus goes up and touches the coffin. And then he speaks with words in a louder voice, speaks, those who are carrying the coffin stop, and Jesus says, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. The words of the centurion echo in our brains. Just say the word, Jesus. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. You've got the power. You've got the authority. Young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. Now, Scripture does not tell us this, but I kind of think that the first three words spoken by this man were spoken to his pallbearers, don't drop me, as they were probably all in shock. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, Kayla read to us not too long ago from 1 Kings chapter 17. A very similar situation, right? With the great prophet Elijah, who had a situation where a widow had her son die. And Elijah wasn't sure exactly what was going on, what God was up to in this. He questions God. He's trying to make sense of this. And he prays to God three times to restore life to this child. And God does. And now, something very similar happens again in the life of Jesus. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe Are you surprised at that reaction? They are filled with awe. They are awestruck. And they praised God. They recognized that this was the action of God working in their midst through Jesus. And what do they say? A great what? Prophet has appeared among us. They knew all about Elijah. They knew what Elijah had accomplished. That was a huge miracle that God worked through Elijah. And now they see it again. This Jesus, he must be a prophet too. And so in this season of Epiphany, as we come to know Jesus in a deeper way, as we come to have the veils of Jesus lifted off, so to speak, so we see him for who he really is, we learn from the centurion today that Jesus is some sort of healer. He has the power to heal. And now we hear the crowd say, a great prophet has arisen among us. This one who has the power of God working in him to bring a man back to life. God has come to help his people. And this news, this witness, the resume of Jesus was sent out in an email blast, right, to the community. Everyone in the whole country got to know about his reputation. Now, I don't know exactly where you are today, where you would put yourself right in the middle of the situation, right in the middle of one of these two scenes, or whether you would feel more comfortable as one of the disciples of Jesus, an active follower of Jesus, watching what he does, going along with him, helping him out in his ministry. Or maybe you are one of the crowds, one being lost in the crowd. You're on the outside. You're looking in. You're wondering. You're interested. But you haven't yet taken a step forward to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Now, there are some who like to be sort of lost in a crowd. Have you ever seen a magician before do his work? A magician who, as part of his shtick, says, I'm looking for 3 volunteers today. And he says it to this big room, and there are some in that room who will volunteer and say, choose me! I'm not one of them. I don't like that. I would never volunteer for something like that. I want to be lost in the crowd. I don't want the waiter to know it's my birthday on my birthday, okay? I don't want people calling on me because it will embarrass me. With Jesus, though, if I borrow the words of the centurion and say, just say the word, just say the word, if you are one who is a disciple or one in the crowd, and you just say the word, you call upon Jesus, Jesus will stop that crowd for you, and he will identify you, not only responding to your voice, but he will recognize your voice. And when he looks you in the eye, it won't be embarrassment that you feel, but you'll feel a peace like you've never felt before. Like you've never felt before. Jesus is one whose heart is full of compassion, who can meet you in your need today, wherever you are. This one who is not only a healer, not only a great prophet, not only a savior, he is a friend, he is the Lord God of all creation. Let us pray. Lord God, it is easy for us to stand back and watch. We pray that you would grant us courage, that you would work the miracle of faith in our lives, that we would take a step forward closer to you today, that we would be drawn into this marvelous relationship, this marvelous fellowship to which you invite us. We pray that you would equip us fully, that we might be your servants in your world to accomplish your kingdom work. Help us to know that you are the one who has compassion upon us, that you are our healer. In Jesus' name, amen.
My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Like that one? Yeah. How many have heard that on the radio before? Just a few of you. Okay. That's the first time we've done it in church. Wonderful, wonderful job. Thank you so much. One of my favorite songs. I invite you to stand as we join together in confessing our faith this morning. We use the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We now continue with our prayers.
Let us pray together. Lord, we gather together today to praise you and give thanks for our blessings. We are thankful to join together in prayer as a congregation. We ask your blessings for Pastor Derek and his family. We thank you for his presence as the shepherd of our congregation. Thank you for the Mikey Day Band and their willingness to share their gifts with us. We are grateful for all who worship here and for all who share their time and talents. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessings on this congregation and our community and all whose lives touch ours. Help us to constantly remember those in need and respond in love and support. Help us to remember that we must consider the needs of all and not just our own. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those who are in need of comfort for illness, pain, or suffering. We pray especially for all those listed in the bulletin today and those we name in our hearts and those that Pastor Derek names now.
Lord God, we do lift before you Speranza Shimbri and Dave Hale. We pray that you would look upon them with your favor and grace. Draw them into close fellowship with you. Remind them of your faithful presence. I thank you also for Ryan Engfeldt as he celebrates his 10th birthday this day. Continue to draw him close to you, Lord God, and reveal yourself to him in fullness. We thank you also for Pastor John Friesman at Holy Redeemer Church in San Jose. Bless the ministry that takes place there and beyond their church walls. Be with the families of Brian Grubb, Joyce Brown, and Mike Wade as they grieve the death of loved ones. Be with Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris, our senators here in California. Guide them in your ways. Grant them wisdom to serve your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We ask your blessings for the global outreach of our congregation. Bless the ministries that we support throughout the world, and keep all of them safe and in your care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will as we work to serve you in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Darrell. The congregation may be seated. We continue with our offering. Join me in prayer. Thank you. O God, source of all blessing and provider of all that is good, we offer back to you a portion of what you have entrusted to our care, to the glory of your name and for the upbuilding of your church. Amen. And now here in this place, we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." We join together in singing our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forget those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory
Dearly beloved of God, this is the Lord's table. Jesus is the host of this meal. All who believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior are welcome to join us in this Holy Communion. We do commune by intinction. You will receive a wafer and may dip that into the wine or into the grape juice which follows to receive both elements at the same time. Please come.
The splendor of the King, crowned in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself
receive now the blessing for the journey. And now, having heard God's word, that you are God's beloved creation, that Jesus died for your sins and was raised to give you new life, go in peace, strengthened to serve, and shine your light that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. By the power of God's Spirit working within us, we will. Let's join together in our closing song.